everybody, and welcome to Books Unbound Podcast, the podcast where we unbind books to get to their hearts. With your hosts, me, it's Ariel, and...
me, Raylene.
And today we have the wonderful Kaz from Little Book Owl. Hello, Kaz.
Hello! Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
We are so excited to have you here. Kaz is one of our oldest BookTube buddies. We all started way back in 2011 with... hey, here's a random question. Where was the camera? Where'd you get the camera that you started vlogging on? I remember I had this cool little purple Coolpix.
Oh my gosh. That was
like my family's camera. Do you remember how you got your camera?
I can't quite remember if I started with... like, I've got a DSLR now, but the one I had beforehand was, like, a fake DSLR. It looked like one, but it was small and didn't have any of the features.
I had one of those. Yeah. That was my, like, camera number three.
Like, I needed to upgrade, so I eventually got that one, I think.
Yeah, we all...
I can't even remember what it was, though.
We started where we had to start. Mm-hmm, and now we're here on our podcast having a great old time. Mm-hmm. So in order to introduce Katrina Kaz to the Books Unbound listeners, we have four questions to ask. The most important questions, some would say. We will say that we did record this already, so Katrina knows what's coming. But that just means that she'll be very certain in her answers, I'm sure. So, Raylene, take it away. What all are right. you going to ask?
Well, I'm going to ask the big questions here. The first one being, what is your favorite author, or who is your favorite author?
So, the author that I've consistently enjoyed the majority or all of their books the most, I think, is probably V.E. Schwab. And I think I've read, with the exception of one series and half a series, I think I've read everything.
Mm.
And I've really enjoyed
that's
them
fun.
All.
You have more to look forward to. That's always nice.
Yeah.
It's like Ariel with George Orwell. There's always more to read. Well, for now.
Well, for now. The saddest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, at least Victoria Schwab is still writing.
I was
writing.
Literally just thinking, as Katrina said that, I was like, oh, God. At least she has an author where, like, your author's going to keep publishing books. Whereas me, not so much. Not so much.
He's done.
He is done.
Well, Kaz, what is your favorite book if you had to pick just one?
Okay. So I mentioned this before. I've got, like, five that I would ideally like to say, but I will only say one. And that is The Book Thief by Marcus Zusak. I think that's probably the oldest favorite, like the one I read first and have reread a few times. And so far, it has held up.
That's awesome. That's the best.
Stressful times. I we were talking about this, but like, obviously, Raylene recently reread that book. And it is still like a book that you love, but is just no longer your favorite book. And I had that experience. Did either of you read Just One Day by Gail Forman?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
That book.
No, I almost did because of you, though.
And isn't that hilarious? Because back when I read it, it was a favorite. I loved it so much. I was like, this book is me. I love it so much. And then a couple years later, I reread it and I was like, I hate this. I can't finish it.
No.
It was so stressful. And then now I'm just like way too scared to reread old favorites.
Especially old YA favorites, right? Because I feel
the
like
thing. YA, it can in many times it can just be so tied to when you were a young adult or like a teen.
Mm-hmm.
So like when you're then 25 and you're rereading this 15-year-old perspective, you're sort of like, it's good, but I don't like connect to it anymore. Ugh.
Yeah, I feel like The Book Thief transcends age, though, because even, you know, like, the main character is 11, so she's, like, very young, so it's not your typical YA, like, high school setting that's hard to connect to as an adult. It's just like, oh my god.
Kaz, I wish you all the best upon your reread.
You gotta do it. And what would you say is your favorite genre?
Fantasy. Hands down.
Easy.
Fantasy.
Yeah. Easy peasy. Isn't that funny how your favorite genre is fantasy, but your favorite book is not fantasy? I find that very interesting.
But if I could have said my top five, the other three or four would have been fantasy.
That's fair. I get that. Because I also would say my current favorite book is The Name of the Wind, which is fantasy, but I wouldn't say my favorite genre overall is fantasy, I don't think. So it's just like, whatever.
My favorite book is Animal Farm, and my favorite genre is George Orwell, so it checks out.
Yours is 100% making sense. All right, and Kaz, the last question for us to get to know you is, what is your latest mashed potato book? So that could be, obviously, first of all, I guess we should explain what a mashed potato book is for people who might not know, who may have missed that episode. A mashed potato book is a book that you've been meaning to read for a long time, but keep putting off because you're saving it, kind of saving it for last the way you would with mashed potatoes in a meal. So to answer this question, you could let us know what is the most recent mashed potatoes book that you have read, or which one you still have on your TBR that you haven't read yet.
So I'm going to go with one that I have not yet read. Mm-hmm. And that is The Poppy War by R.F. Kuang. I've heard so many wonderful things about it, and I think it will be a 5-star read. It just seems like my type of book.
But that's the worst kind of mashed potato, Kaz. That's the worst one.
You just know. But for whatever reason, I do have two reasons, though. Like, the size of it is huge, and time, I don't have her, so
I can't. She's not here right now.
Even in isolation, I just don't have the time. And, like, the content is going to be quite intense, so I think I need to be prepared for it. So
yeah,
when the mood strikes,
those are valid reasons. That was like The Secret History for me. It was pretty much because of those same reasons. It's like, it's very big, and I think it's gonna hit me in the gut too much. It's gonna be too sad or scary or whatever, but it was worth it in the end.
Oh man. Well, before we dive into our normal rigmarole of what we're currently reading, Raylene has a book haul for us, and she just picked up a couple books she's going to share with us real quick here. I'm excited because we got some more cat action heading our
way. Yeah, and some of these, I posted a picture of some of my cat books a couple of days ago, so some of these have already been spoiled, but I'm going to talk about them anyway. So I got On Cats by Charles Bukowski. And I'm very
beautiful
excited about
cover.
This.
Beautiful
very
cover.
Beautiful, very small. Gorgeous. I just saw there's one poem and one of the lines was, "Sorry, fat." What? I don't know what to expect from this. It's poems and essays about cats, so sounds great. Secondly, I got Nevernight by Jay Kristoff, which is one of Kaz's favorites. If we had only let her mention more than one,
it would have been higher on that list.
Yes, I'm really excited to read this. This is one that I've just been hearing about for a long time. Obviously, it's the whole trilogy is out now, so that book's been out for a while, and I don't know why I haven't read it yet, quite honestly. I'm very
excited
to read it.
It's a book that I know nothing about, but whenever I see that book or any mention of Jay Kristoff, I'm like, oh yeah, Katrina.
It's almost like you wrote that book. How
I
much
wish,
you talk about
I
it.
Wish. I love it with all my heart. I hope you enjoy it as much as I did.
I hope so too. Oof. I'm kind of in like a fantasy state of mind right now because I recently finished The Priory of the Orange Tree, which is another one I know you love. So I feel like this is the perfect next fantasy book to read. So I just need to follow your recommendations and do that. Read them all. The next book I got is The Complete Cheese Sweet Home, Part 1. This is a series of cat mangas.
I'm so excited about this because I own this book. This is, for me, a mashed potato book for sure. Basically, it's like the adventures of this tiny, adorable cat who lives, I think, with a toddler. I think there's a toddler in the house.
Yeah, there's definitely a toddler.
And they just, like, have all these adventures and stuff, and it seems so cute that I'm like, I need to read this when either I'm craving something cute or I'm, like, in a specific kind of sadness. I don't even know what my mind is thinking, but it looks wonderful.
Yeah, no, it looks like the type of thing that I would associate kind of with Yotsuba, the other kind of like cute manga that I love. So it's like, if I'm ever in a bad mood, I think that's what I would go for also, because it has the same look to it. And then nextly, I got I Am a Cat by Sosaki Natsume, which is this, it's actually a 3-in-1 volume, the one I have.
Oh,
so I think it's like a 3-volume series of cat books, and the font is absolutely tiny. And it's
really
a pretty massive book.
I feel that I've really lost you down a rabbit hole, and I fear I'll never see you again. Like, this cat
I'm
situation
gone.
Has spiraled. I thought it was mainly a joke, and now you literally own like a dozen cat
books. It's not a joke anymore.
It's a serious but I mean, problem.
Like you said before, at least I'm reading them. I'm not just buying them to have them. I actually genuinely enjoy reading them. Like, it's something that, it's a fun collection to have because it's like, I love cats. Why would I not want to read about cats? And I never realized how many cat books were out there, which is the most interesting thing about this. It's like, there are so many. And there are dozens that I've been adding to Goodreads that I have never even heard of and will probably never find. But it's nice to know they're out there. Well, next book that I got is one that Ariel will be excited about, and that is Dig by A.S. King.
Yes! In a
beautiful hardcover edition.
Okay, I'm going to tell you something right now. If you read that book before I read that book, I'm going to be pretty upset.
Challenge accepted. I won't tell you when, I won't tell you where, but I'm just going to start reading that book one of these days.
I have owned an ARC copy of that book for literally years, and the fact that I haven't read it is one of my greatest shames, one of my greatest mashed potato mistakes. Yep. I believe that book may have invented mashed potatoes for me, because I just, like, have been meaning to read it for so, so long, and every time I see it, it's just like another stab in my heart. But what I will say is, I'm really excited that you mentioned that book because we just posted our special A.S. King episode. So before Books Unbound podcast was this sick podcast where we had beautiful guests like Katrina, I was gonna do this podcast on my own and just like try and have cool people on randomly. And so I recorded an episode with A.S. King where we reviewed her favorite book, God Bless You, Mr. Rosewater by Kurt Vonnegut. So I got to review A.S. King's favorite book with A.S. King. The episode is out now. It's so cool. Please listen to it. Thank you very much.
That is
I can't wait to hear it because honestly, I haven't heard it. I don't know what happened in that episode.
You were
I
was there.
It's very exciting stuff. Well, speaking of exciting stuff, the last book that I got is one that is taking the world by storm today on this day, May 19th, 2020. The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes by Suzanne Collins just came out today. And I managed to snag a copy, which was
very exciting.
I haven't started reading it yet because I just got off work and then we started recording this. So I can't say anything about it, but I hope to have finished it by next week because I'm going to start reading it as soon as we finish recording tonight.
Kaz, so important excited. Question. How do you feel about the name of that book?
The name?
Yeah, the title. The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes.
I was expecting a different question. It wasn't what I was expecting.
Yeah.
Like, The Hunger Games, Catching Fire, and Mockingjay. Like, they got shorter.
That's true.
This is a prequel.
this could not have seen coming.
So it makes sense. It comes before The Hunger Games.
I guess you're right. No.
So how many prequels is she going to have all of the different titles that go down to Mockingjay? Oh, man. Scary.
I haven't thought too much about it, so I haven't tried to, like, understand what it means,
yeah.
I guess. So I'm interested to see how, like, after reading the book.
Yeah, that's true. I guess, I was about to call him Professor Snow. President Snow. He's definitely got to be the snake. There's more than one snake, according to this title, so I guess we'll see.
Oh, that's interesting. I just filmed a truly cringy video for my YouTube channel where I was reacting to book memes, and I was really hoping that I would find a book meme, and I didn't, but I was hoping I would find a book meme that kind of, like, poked fun at the fact that titles in YA are getting out of control. Like, and I'm just like, I was so badly hoping that it would point to I was like, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. But one of the memes that I did find was like, it was like a Friends, it was Joey freaking out, but it was basically like, when you're reading a book and the title makes sense. And yeah. I was like, it's so true. That moment is so exciting.
Yeah.
So I am excited to see what the heck this title means, because I don't like it.
I don't like it either. Well, especially because it uses that stupid formula that every single YA series has been using. The blank of blank and blank, and I don't like it.
And sometimes it works, but other times it's just getting too symbolic. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I just love that satisfying moment where it all clicks and it's like, this title perfectly encapsulate what this is about. So hoping that has that moment. Let me know once you've read it.
Will do.
Mm-hmm. Mine didn't arrive today, and I'm super glad because I haven't finished Catching Fire or Mockingjay.
Oh my god! You know, I've been meaning to ask you about that, but I knew that you probably hadn't, so I was like, let's just not.
Every day that goes by without the book arriving at my house is another opportunity to catch up, ladies and gentlemen.
That's the way to look at it.
Well, let's jump into our actual questions. Katrina, let's start with you as you're the guest. What are you currently reading?
I have literally just started this today.
Oh my gosh.
It's, I don't even know how many pages this is. Orange by Ichigo Takano.
Me and Raylene both freaked out of excitement before you mentioned it, and everyone's like, why are they excited?
It's
because we're on video, and she held it up and we could see that it was orange.
Yep. So I'm reading this as part of the Asian Readathon for the month of May on the recommendation of Books with Chloe, and I'm really excited for this one. I've heard so many good things about it. Then I picked it up, not really knowing too much about the story, and then read the synopsis. I was like, oh, that's not what I was expecting, but it sounds really cool. So it's about Naho, who's in high school, and she receives a letter from her future self from 10 years into the future. And in the letter, it outlines a bunch of things that are going to happen to kind of prove that it's her. Mm-hmm. It's not a prank. Mm-hmm. And in the letter, her future self begs Naho to watch over this new transfer student called Kakeru and kind of save him from a terrible future. So I've literally just started it this morning, probably spent 20 minutes reading it. So we'll see what I think. I'm really excited about it, though.
I think you're going to love it. It's so good.
The concept really stresses me out. I'm like, if I got a letter from myself that was like, Ariel, there's a new kid in town and you have to take care of them, I'd be like, oh god, no, this is bad. It's real bad. It's not gonna be good. But I have heard so many good things. I actually recently watched a video from Books with Chloe where she was recommending graphic novels and mangas, and she mentioned that one again, and I was like, it looks so good, because Raylene was talking about it a few episodes ago. Raylene, what are you currently reading?
Well, I'm kind of not really reading anything, technically, because I'm at the very beginning of two things, but I'll tell you what those things are. I just started listening to the audiobook of No Country for Old Men by Cormac McCarthy, which is really random, but it's my book club pick for the month. One of my friends picked it, and I don't have a copy of it, so I'm listening to the audiobook, and yeah, I've listened to maybe 20 minutes of it so far, and I don't really know what's going on. So that's where I'm at with that. I actually don't know the plot of this at all. All I know is it's kind of like a thriller, but maybe has some kind of fantasy element based on the tags on the audiobook. I don't know, man. So I literally can't say anything about that, but hopefully I'll have finished it by next week. Well, actually, I definitely will, because we're talking about it next week, so... I'm gonna finish it, and I guess I'm reading The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. That's my next read. I have read the first four pages already, as I mentioned a few episodes ago. I'm gonna reread them just for kicks, because why not? Yeah. But yeah, that's my next read, and I'm definitely gonna read it. It's not gonna be one of those things where I say I'm going to and then don't, because I'm so excited about this book. So
yeah, that's really exciting.
That's my. I'm gonna really dive into it tonight, hopefully.
Well, the book that I'm currently reading, I'm pretty close to finishing, and I'm scared of finishing it. I was doing so good at reading it and, like, charging through it, and now I'm getting to the end, and something very, very sad is about to happen,
oh,
and I'm,
I know
like,
what you're reading.
Scared. So I'm currently reading Second Chance Summer by Morgan Matson. I love Morgan Matson. A couple of her books, Amy and Roger's Epic Detour and Top 8, which is by the author Katie Finn, but that is Morgan Matson. She just has two pen names. So a couple of her books are like some of my all-time faves. But I realized I haven't read a Morgan Matson in a really long time. And I was like, Second Chance Summer. I've been meaning to read that for years. So I thought, heck, I'll pick it up. So I picked it up. I started like kind of reading the first few pages and I was like, this is really fun. And what happened is this book is freaking 470 pages just Morgan Matson and her long contemporaries. I don't know, man, way too long. But I, my brother kept having to like go to the dentist this week, and so I kept sitting in parking lots and I would just read. So I got through this book, I think, a lot faster than I usually would. So yeah, I only have like 50, 60 pages left. But it's so sad. It's about, this isn't a spoiler at all, it's like the whole premise is that her, the main character Taylor, her father is diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. He only has like 3 months left to live, and so the family decides to go and spend a final summer together at their lake house where they used to always spend summers when she was a kid. So it's like the last few months with your dad, and I'm like, this was a mistake. Every time I live with my dad, and every time, like, with my parents, but every time I see my dad, I want to cry. it's just way too much. It's way too much. So hopefully I will finish that soon so that I can kind of like knock it on spiritually and start to recover. But I also, I guess I'm sort of reading Catching Fire because I need to finish it so I can start the new one.
How far into it are you?
I don't remember. Not that far. It's not good, guys. All right, but what about books we have actually finished? Katrina, what was the last book you finished?
Well, I just finished 2 books over the weekend.
My God.
I felt very accomplished because it's been a month since I finished anything, so I'm feeling good.
Oh my God, just in time.
Oh yeah. So I finished listening to the audiobook for Little Fires Everywhere by Celeste Ng.
Oh, cool.
Which was really good, and now I really want to watch the show. Mm. So I'll find time for that very soon, I'm sure.
Do you have Hulu in Australia?
No, but I... where is it?
Is it... has someone else bought the rights for it there? Because here, we can't watch it. In Canada, where you get it.
I have heard people talking about it because I work for the publisher of the book, so I know that people have been talking about it coming out, so it might be Stan. Maybe it's on now Netflix, but I'm not sure. Maybe it's not anywhere that I can find it. I'll have to do some research.
The struggle.
I've been paying attention. but yeah, so this one is about the Richardson family, who's like this perfect, really organized suburban family. And the story opens with their house burning to the ground. And everybody knows that it was the youngest
daughter. Well, when you put it that way.
Yeah. Dramatic. But everyone knows that it was the youngest daughter, Isabel, who was responsible. So then it kind of goes back in time to the moment when Mia Warren and her daughter Pearl come into the lives of the Richardson family and the events leading up to the fiery conclusion, including like this big custody battle over a Chinese American baby that kind of divides the town. So it's very much about relationships, like platonic, familial, what's romantic. Wow, I forgot that word for a second.
The other one.
Well done, me. My brain's doing good things. but yeah, it was super, super interesting. It also explores like race and class and what family and motherhood means. The ending, everything just was kind of like pow, pow, pow. And it was really, really good. The audiobook was great as well. The narrator did such a good job.
Oh, that's good news.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than reading a good book, but it's read by a bad narrator.
It just ruins it.
It ruins it. It really does. I think it's funny that you mentioned that book because we were just talking earlier in the episode about like when you understand the title. Book has a really good version of that. Like when you understand why it's called Little Fires Everywhere, and it's pretty early on, but like when you figure it out, you're sort of like, oh, great title,
right? Great title. It works so well. That's exactly the book I was thinking of when we were talking about how satisfying it was.
It's good. What's the other book you finished?
The other one was The Final Empire by Brandon Sanderson.
Yes!
The first book in the Mistborn trilogy. I'm so glad that I finally got to this one. This, like, made the rounds in BookTube a few years ago, and I just never jumped on the bandwagon for whatever reason. But I'm participating in this read-along for all of the books in the Cosmere by Brandon Sanderson. Working my way through all of those books. And on the weekend, I ran a 6-hour live read-in to get this read before the live show.
Oh my God.
It was tiring, but it was really productive because I just have a really bad, good habit. I'm really good at it, of finishing books with deadlines, like, at the very last minute.
Yeah, it's I feel that. Hence me not hilarious. Having finished Catching Fire, but somehow that book hasn't shown up at my house yet. I'm lucky.
Working out. Yeah. So if, for anyone who doesn't know about the Mistborn trilogy, the first one, it's set in a world where this dark Lord Ruler has been reigning for 1,000 years and, like, terrorizing the people, especially the enslaved Scar. But there's a rebellion brewing, and there's a criminal mastermind named Kelsier who hires a Scar street urchin to join his crew, and they're planning to overthrow the Lord Ruler and free the people from his reign. And there's a really cool magic system called Allomancy, and it's basically where you can ingest different metals and burn them for kind of different abilities. Whoa. And it was really cool. The way it was described was quite scientific as well, and I love when magic systems do that. Like, it's very logical and makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. I had a great time reading this, guys. So good.
Do you have to eat the metal? Do you just, like, eat it?
Swallow it, yeah.
Yeah, you swallow it.
Is it, like, pills, or do you, like, put it in food?
There's different kinds. Like, some people carry them in little solutions, or, like, have pellets of them, or, like, pellets, right. Probably not the right word, but yeah, there's different ways that you can ingest them.
Yeah, I love, like, the magic system for Mistborn. It's
I'm so thinking cool. Like, can you, like, infuse zinc into a granola bar? Can you get some
I mean, I'm sure they don't
have time for that.
I'm sure you could.
You gotta save the world, Ariel. There's not time for infusing zinc into your granola.
That question really showed that I don't read fantasy.
Yeah, that was embarrassing, honestly.
Oh, fantastic. Man. Well, I've heard a lot about those books, and I've seen them posted a lot. Mm. Like, they're the white ones with, like, a gray cityscape and blue mist, right?
Yeah, like,
yeah, like that one. Yeah, I've seen those everywhere.
They're the best covers. I'm glad you read it and loved it. For some reason, I thought you had already read that.
I mean, I've been meaning to for a while, and I'm pretty sure I bought that many, many years ago. Yeah. Hashtag that was a mashed potato book.
It was, and I'm proud of you.
Conquered.
Yeah, you. Thank you.
Raylene, what's the last book you finished? Did you finish anything in the last week?
I did, actually. Yeah, the two books that I started last week, I finished over the weekend. So I finished Autobiography by Christina Lauren. I always have a hard time saying that. Autobiography. Yeah. So yeah, that one, I read it, and like I mentioned, it was just like a YA contemporary about a boy, and his name was Tanner. I couldn't remember last week when we were talking about it. The main character's name is totally Tanner. And it's about him and his family coming from California, moving to a town in Utah that's very Mormon heavy. And they're from California. The main character is bisexual. His whole family's cool with it. He was out in California, but they moved to Utah and they're like, no, got to keep it under wraps. Mm-hmm. And it's basically about him taking this class in school where he gets to, or has to, write a book in 4 months. And then so basically all the students, they just have to write a book, they hand it in, and then that's like their whole grade is just based on writing a book. And cool. There's this guy who is a year older than them, and he basically was in the class the year before, and he got a book published from the one that he wrote for the class. And so he's kind of like a mentor, and his name is Sebastian, and Tanner just falls in love with Sebastian, but he's like, he's so Mormon, I can't show my hand because he won't be okay with it. And so that's like his whole struggle throughout the book, is trying to, like, figure out his feelings for this guy and trying to figure out how he can show his feelings without, you know, getting in trouble and stuff. Mm, so it was a decent contemporary book. I gave it 3 stars just because it was like, it was just a book. I didn't feel like it had anything super, like, over the top awesome about it, but I liked it. It was a good time. I also finished Emergency Contact by Mary H.K. Choi. And that one, I would say I had a similar reaction to. I'm starting to think that maybe I just don't love YA contemporary anymore, because it was like both books were good. Like, they were good books, but I didn't feel like, wow, I want to pick these up so much. Yeah, Emergency Contact was fun. I also had only read like 4 pages of that last week, so I didn't know what it was about. But it's about this girl named Penny who goes off to college. And I didn't realize it was a college story, which was really interesting. So it's about her going off to college, and she's kind of a weirdo, a weird loner. And so she, like, has a hard time interacting with people and making friends. And she basically crossed paths with this guy named Sam, who's the other character. It's told in dual perspective. And he's this guy who is a couple years older than her, and he works at a coffee shop and lives in the coffee shop. Like, he's kind of destitute and down on his luck and having a hard time or whatever, and they cross paths and basically become each other's emergency contact, because he is, like, just having a really bad day when they meet up, essentially, and she takes care of him and, you know, make sure he gets home okay, because he was, like, just not having a good time. And so it's about them texting each other a lot, mostly. Like, they get to know each other over text, which was a fun thing to read. I know that, Ariel, you like that kind of thing sometimes too, like with attachments.
I sure do, Raylene.
It's true. Fun. It's so fun. Because I don't know if you guys have similar experiences to this, but when I was in high school, I got to know a lot of people just from texting them and not ever hanging out in real life. Like, people that I just, like, never would talk to, but it was like we texted every day. And it's, like, such a weird dynamic, but it was interesting to see that represented in a book, because I was like, oh, it wasn't just me who did that. Right. So yeah, that one, it was an interesting book in that way, and a very, very quick read, since, like, half the book is told through text. So if you want something really fast, I definitely recommend that. So it was another fun YA contemporary. So
wow, you had a real theme.
I feel like I'm ready for another fantasy book now, which is essentially what I was doing. That was the reason I read those books, because I was like, I need to prime myself. What was that? Who said that? Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes is up next, and we'll see where the wind takes me.
Woo-hoo.
Ariel, have you finished anything?
I didn't finish anything.
Uh-oh.
So we'll just move swiftly along to book news. All right. Well, Katrina, did you bring us a piece of book news?
I found a short and sweet news article.
Perfect.
There was this is an Australian one as well.
So there Love was it.
A woman received a $253 fine for reading while driving.
Oh my god! This is my favorite book news ever.
This is so good.
And there was someone on the street who saw what happened and filmed the woman reading while she was driving and sent it off to the police, which is how she got caught. But it was like, not even discreetly, it looks like she had the book propped up on the steering wheel and she was like, read, like, oh.
Oh my god. I have, like, so many, like, questions, opinions, thoughts, perspectives, but my main question is, has she not heard of audiobooks?
No, seriously.
Oh my god, right?
Like, that's what I do while I drive. There is a way to read while you drive that is safe and doesn't put anyone at risk. I would never attempt that. That is crazy.
Yeah, that's insane.
It's like, reading is an engrossing and time-consuming thing. Like, first of all, you're not going to make any progress if you're doing it. Like, it's not safe. But is she just, like, flicking her eyes back and forth? Like, that just...
No, I totally agree.
Yeah, okay, how are you supposed to read?
Reading.
It's obviously not safe, but if we actually think about, like, how productive that would be, it wouldn't be productive. Mm. How is she flipping the page? Like, how is she flipping the page? Does she have to, like... How? I don't know.
And then if she's so actually spending, like, a kind of significant amount of time looking at the page and reading it, like, how
do you drive?
What?
Yeah, I've even seen people, like, walking down the I've seen people just walking down the sidewalk reading a book, and I'm like, how do you walk?
I do that.
Really? Okay, well, that's impressive. I just, like, I think it's, obviously, it's fine. Like, I don't think it's unsafe, like it is with driving. I just don't get how people do it. Like, I feel like I would walk into things.
Do you know what she was reading?
I don't know. I think the video was kind of only of the page, but I was going to say, in terms of reading while walking, I used to do it when I was working at a mall and I'd go to the bank. So I'd walk the same path each time. So I was kind of on autopilot when I was walking, so I could actually focus on what I was reading.
Yeah. But
yeah, I have no idea what she was reading.
Dang, that's the most important question.
It must be freaking great. If she had to do it while driving, that's crazy.
Maybe she was reading The Hunger Games, honestly. How are you supposed to put that down?
She's trying to catch up in time.
Exactly.
She's driving to the bookstore to pick up
Probably.
Well, Raylene, hard to top that news, but what is your book news?
Okay, my book news is, once again, related to quarantine. And this one, I just thought it was, like, a fun one, though. Basically, a couple, at the end of March, I think, is when this launched, a bunch of booktubers have launched a kind of Zoom book club where every single day, each one of them will host a Zoom call where people will show up and then they all just, like, turn their mics off and read for an hour silently together. Yeah. And it's still ongoing as far as I can tell. And there's a whole article about it on Forbes, which is how I found it. Forbes.com. So, but if you look up booktubers quarantine page, pages is what they're calling it. So I think it's really cool. And they're from all over the world. Like, there's people in Canada, the US, and Africa, I believe, is where they're all from. So it's just like a really cool little book club. And they have different time slots that they do each day to kind of accommodate the different time zones people are in. So I think if you are feeling lonely and kind of alone and sad and like reading doesn't feel fun because of everything that's going on, which is why they started it, because they kind of found that, you know, maybe you weren't reading as much because quarantine was getting you down and you felt kind of stuck in your own little bubble. But it's nice when you can kind of open it up and talk with other people and then read. And they actually sit down and read, which I think is fun. When you and I do our live read-ins, we barely read because we just love to talk so much. But what I love is that they all just like shut off their mics and just sit there and read and actually get some solid reading done. So
that's really sweet. I like that a lot. Well, we'll have to link to them, maybe on our Instagram. I think we can figure that out. We can tag them or something. That's really, really cool. Well, my book news is also quarantine related. I saw this, I thought it was really, really interesting. And the article pretty much says it all, but it says, Waterstones plans to put its books under a 72-hour quarantine. So basically, because bookshops are going to reopen soon in the UK, which I disagree with, everyone stay home, but it's happening. So, you know, different stores are taking different precautions based on what they sell and how your store operates, or, you know, if you're a restaurant or whatever. But in a bookshop, obviously, people pick up books, flip through them, and then put them back, which is kind of dangerous if they, if they've put the COVID disease onto the book. So what Waterstones is proposing they're going to do instead is they're going to have trolleys all over the bookshop. And then if you pick up a book and you don't buy it, you should put it, instead of putting it back on the shelf, you're supposed to put it on the trolley. And then like booksellers are going to take all of these books into the back and they will like sit for 72 hours, which is apparently enough for the virus to die. And then, yeah, and then they'll take them back out, which I just think that this is so cute. Interesting and like science comes to the bookshop. I just am fascinated.
Yeah, that's interesting. Wow.
That is really interesting.
It's really interesting to see how like new, not necessarily new jobs, but like people have been given so many new weird tasks to do like based on this. Because like when I go to the bank, because I have to go to the bank for my job a lot, there's like two or three people who just stand at the front, like ushering people in and making sure that, you know, there's not too many people in the bank. And I'm like, who knew that that was going to be your job?
Like me and my boyfriend had to go to a shop and I just sat in the car. But every, like literally, every, it was a pharmacy. Every 5 minutes, a person would come and like clean the door handles. Yeah. And I was just like, this is, like you said, there's so many new tasks and things to think about. So it's just, it's not something I would have thought of. But obviously if you are working at a bookshop, that is something you're thinking of. And just thinking about all these measures, I find really interesting. Well, I enjoyed our book news today. I can't stop thinking about this woman driving.
Crazy lady.
Loves books so much. But it is now time for us to jump into our book recommendations. Raylene, start with the one that you picked out from Sarah.
All right. So they say, hello there. I am looking for a book like a warm bowl of oatmeal. It is sweet. It is calming, but it has substance. It keeps you thinking about it and keeps your belly full. I like the idea that you keep thinking about oatmeal after you've eaten it.
I honestly had a wonderful bowl of oatmeal today. Had some choco chips in there, cinnamon. It was good. Katrina, what did you pick as your warm bowl of oatmeal book?
Okay, so For this one, I chose a really wholesome and heartwarming graphic novel that I have recommended to so many people and will continue recommending till the day I die.
I'm ready.
And that is The Prince and the Dressmaker by Jenny Wang.
Second, okay. I second that. Yes.
And I third it.
Yes. Oh, brilliant. So, okay, the story with this one is I read this book on my way to work one day. So I finished it on my bus ride there.
Please tell me you weren't driving.
No, I was on the bus. I promise I was good. So I came into work with like happy tears and immediately was like, guys, I need to tell you about this amazing book I just read. And I persuaded two of my coworkers to also read it on their lunch breaks that day.
Amazing.
So this book has gotten a lot of love from the get-go. As the title suggests, it's about a prince and a dressmaker. So we have Prince Sebastian, who hires an incredibly talented and quite innovative dressmaker, Francis, to make them dresses. So at night, Prince Sebastian's leading a bit of a double life. And at night hits the town as Lady Crystallia and quickly becomes kind of like a hot fashion icon in Paris. So it's about the two of them. They become best friends, maybe something more. And this book warmed me to my soul. It was so sweet, many happy tears. And it's one that I continuously think about after the fact. There's just some really wholesome moments. So I think this is the perfect oatmeal read.
I agree. That's a great pick. You're totally right. It is sweet, calming, but it has substance. As Sarah has requested. I loved that book. I am convinced, and not enough people agree with me, but I am convinced that I look like the main character in that book. I think I look like Francis. I'm going to have to do some cosplay at some point.
You've got the fringe as well at the moment.
Right.
Like,
I have the fringe. I think we have the same skin color, which I rarely see. Because, you know, I'm not brown, but I'm not white. I'm right in the middle, like her.
Just like Francis.
I put my hair in a braid a lot. And I think my glasses might be what's throwing people off. Because if I take my glasses off, I think I look more like her. But I'm just
saying. I want to see a cosplay.
I've got a cosplay.
Bring it to the Instagram. We want to see it.
You know what? It's quarantine. Fuck it. I'll do it. I'm going to try and cosplay as.
Oh, who should character. I cosplay as?
Oh my god, yes. We should all cosplay as someone.
I'd probably be Pansy Parkinson or something. I don't know who I look like.
It's really hard, though, because obviously with book characters, you kind of just imagine them a lot of the time. So they could look like anyone, but with a graphic novel, we have to try and find graphic novel characters that look like you and Katrina. We'll try.
I'm excited.
And people should message us. Can you think of graphic novel characters that look like Katrina and and
for our grid on Instagram, we need to have three pictures of us cosplaying. So, it has to happen. None of us can back out now.
I love it.
Raylene, what is your oatmeal book?
Well, this one, it came to my mind right away. It was such an easy one to pick. The Princess Bride by William Goldman. This book is such a good comfort read. And it's funny that I say that because I've only read it one time and it was many years ago. But it's one that I can see myself reading when I know I really want to read something. It's the same as The Prince and the Dressmaker. It's just wholesome and fun and just a really great time. It's like a fairy tale. So it's got that same kind of vibe that book has. And the movie is obviously amazing, but I just love this book. It's hard to explain what it's about, but I won't do it. That's what I'm just not going to. It's a fairy tale about two people and there's pirates and magic and mystery and revenge. And it's just full of all the things that you could want in a fairy tale, which I think is what makes it so comforting and nice and good.
I haven't read it, but I have seen the movie and I remember, I saw the movie when I was younger and I remember having a lot of fun with it and being like, this is wacky.
It is wacky. And also to go along with this one, I also read a couple of years ago, As You Wish by Cary Elwes, which is the male lead in the movie. He wrote a book about his experiences when they were filming the movie, and it's so good. Anyone who loves the movie has to read that book, because there's so many little stories that you're like, oh my god, I didn't realize that happened when that was happening, and his ankle was broken while they were filming that scene. There's so much crazy stuff that happened on the set of that movie. Oh, it's just so good. So good. So I recommend those as a pair.
Well, you guys apparently had a theme without me, a prince and princess books, and I had no idea. But I like that we have a graphic novel, we have a, like, fantasy-ish book, and now I'm here with a nonfiction memoir.
I couldn't see what it was! It's so white! Oh, there we go!
It's called Birds, Art, Life, Death by Keo McClear in the UK, or no, in the US / Canada, I think it's only published as Birds, Art, Life. Like, They don't have the death part.
They're like, that's too sad.
It's like really strong vibes here. This is a book that I read a really long time ago, but really, really loved. And I haven't really heard many people talk about it, which I think is a shame, because I think a lot of people would like it. So basically, the character, but it's a memoir, so it's real. The author, Keo McClear, is a writer. She writes children's fiction mostly, and like children's picture books, but she's Canadian, which is cool. But her father has fallen quite ill, and she feels like he's about to die, but she's not sure, and so she goes into this stage of like anticipatory grief, which was like a phrase I learned here, which is like when you think someone's about to die and you're already starting to grieve them even though they haven't passed yet. Anyway, he ends up being fine, thank God. But she then kind of experiences this year of like really processing a lot of emotions and thinking about her life and thinking about art. She thinks a lot about birds, art, life, and death, as you can imagine. But basically, it's kind of told through this angle of she decides to become a bird watcher for a year. So she, like, goes and does a lot of bird watching. It's really hard to sell this book, I think, because it sounds boring as hell. It's like this woman who's sad and she's bird watching. But it was actually so beautiful, really interesting, but also totally, like, as Sarah has requested, it's calm. I really found this to be one of the most meditative books I've ever read, like, super measured. And it is one of the books that, like, you know those books that you read where almost every other page has a quotable line? It was one of those. It just had so many good quotes and lines and thought-provoking ideas. I just really, really enjoyed it. I super recommend this one. And I like that we all recommended such different books.
Totally different.
All right. Well, jumping into my recommendation request, this comes from Batool. She said, "Hello. In this time of darkness, I would like to read something dark. I work in the emergency department, and I'd love to immerse myself in a dense gothic atmosphere where the scary stuff isn't a pandemic, but a mysterious element in the story. Thank you for bringing light to my daily life with your podcast. With love, Batool." I'm guessing that's how it's pronounced. I've never seen that name before. But yes, I'm super excited to see what you guys picked. I instantly had one come to my mind, which is super fun. Katrina, let's start with you. What did you pick as your scary, gothic, mysterious book?
Okay, so I chose The Yellow Wallpaper by Charlotte Perkins Gilman.
Love this choice.
Yes, this is from, I think, like the 1890s, and it's a really feminist, dark, and gothic short story novella about the repression of women and mental illness. And what I love most about this is that it's partly autobiographical, which is really cool. So I'll chat about that in a sec. But
yeah,
what the actual story is about is there is a woman who's prescribed the rest cure. So a period of inactivity to help cure her depression and mild hysteria, and so she stays in this one room that has like barred windows and this yellow wallpaper,
so stressful.
Oh yeah. The pattern of this wallpaper eventually drives her mad. It is brilliant and thought-provoking, and it's very much a critique on like the patriarchy and the treatment of women. And like I said, okay, the story behind the story is really, I think, quite funny and made me appreciate it even more. So essentially, Charlotte wrote this in response to her own experience seeking help after she became really depressed after the birth of her daughter. So she sought out this specialist in nervous diseases, and he basically said that her depression was a result of too much mental activity. So she was
been
prescribed
there, been
the
there.
Rest- oh yeah. So she was prescribed the rest cure and told to pretty much do nothing mentally or physically, and in fact was told to have no more than 2 hours of intellectual life a day.
Wow.
So no surprises, it made her worse. So she wrote this story to kind of critique and protest this kind of treatment, especially for women like herself. And mm-hmm. she sent the story to the specialist who had almost driven her mad and was like, here,
that is a strong move.
Yeah, right? She was like, here, look at the effects of your horrible treatment. And the man never got back to her directly. But years later, she was told that the specialist admitted to his friends that after reading the story, he changed his treatment for these kinds of conditions.
Oh, yay! Yeah. Wow, right? This is so exciting. I'm having the best time of my life right now. Katrina, I know. This is such a cool story.
Like, it was so interesting. He was obviously too ashamed to ever tell her, but it had a big effect on him. And I loved...
That's really cool. I didn't know that backstory. Yeah. That is super cool. Have you read it, Raylene?
No, I've really been meaning to read that for a long time.
Oh, stressful. You were saying you studied it at school, Katrina?
Yeah. I did a feminist literature course. And, like, this is the only book I really remember reading throughout the entire... entirety.
I love that edition, too.
University degree. And it's so good. So good.
Yeah, I also read it at school. I think that it is kind of a classic of an English degree is reading The Yellow Wallpaper, but it is excellent and it is so stressful.
Oh my gosh.
The whole time you're reading. Yes. The whole time you're reading it, you're just mega frustrated that no one will listen to her. No one will let her just express her feelings. But you're also like so stressed out as she starts to just lose it. She's just losing it. That is a great pick. That's really cool. Raylene, what did you pick as your slow descent into meth?
Well, it's actually great that you describe it like that, because this book does kind of have an element of descending into madness, kind of. It's not gothic at all, because I just don't read gothic books, so I had to just nix that part out of it. But I decided to go for a book that I've read recently that was the darkest book I remember reading in recent days. And that is The Outsider by Stephen King.
Oh, pretty.
This book was so good, but so messed up. I mean, obviously Stephen King is well known for his kind of fucked up plots and things that happen to the people in them. And this one is no exception. It's, oh man, violence against children. So, I mean, spoiler alert, it's dark in that way. Basically, it's about this guy who is the, like, town coach, basically. Like, he coaches baseball and all that kind of stuff. It's a small town, really close-knit community. And essentially, this child is murdered. And this coach guy, his DNA is all over the body and all this stuff. And so they immediately say it was him, lock him away. But he insists that it wasn't him. You know, he's pulled out in the middle of like a baseball game that he's coaching and humiliated in front of the whole town. And he insists it wasn't me, it wasn't me. And so as the story goes along, you kind of start to get an uneasy feeling that there's someone else creeping around, looking like other people, doing things that they shouldn't do while pretending to look like other people, etc. So it has a kind of spooky supernatural mystery to it, but it's so stressful to read because even though you don't know for sure if the main character is innocent or not, you just kind of have this feeling that, like, it wasn't him. There was something else going on here. And it's very, very stressful and very dark. Like, Stephen King doesn't pull any punches when it comes to the content in this book, but it's so compelling and interesting. And the whole time, like all the way up to the end, you're like, what is happening? Like, I need to know the answer to what's going on. So even though it's a pretty big book, I flew through it. It's such an interesting read. So if you want something dark, that is the best thing I've got at this moment. Yeah.
That sounds very stressful. And I won't be reading it.
I don't think you should.
I'm like too stressed. But it does actually sound perfect for Betul, though, because like it's not about a pandemic, but it is mysterious and scary and gothic and dark. So it sounds perfect, just also stressful. It's so weird me how Stephen King himself seems like a wonderful dude, but then his books are all terrifying.
Yeah.
He's some a crazy kind of guy. Messed up, yeah.
Have you read any books, Katrina, by Stephen King?
No, I have not. I don't know where to start.
I've only read his memoir, and I'm like, I'm too scared to read his actual fiction because it seems terrifying.
I love him. I have fallen in love with Stephen in the past couple of years. I went a long time without reading any of his books, and in the past couple of years, I've read like 20, and it's just like, man, a good time.
I will come to you for recommendations on where to start.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of his movies, obviously. Like, a lot of his books have been turned into movies, so I've obviously experienced a lot of his stories, but I don't know if I would, like... Like, his movies freak me out. Like, Misery? Hey. So I don't know if I want to read it.
Well, I can give quick recommendations for places to start. For anyone who is looking to get into Stephen King, I would recommend Misery as a good starting point. Because it doesn't have anything supernatural in it. It's more of just, like, a mystery thriller. So that's a good entry point for that reason. I also really recommend The Long Walk, which he wrote under the pseudonym Richard Bachman. That one is, like... dystopian YA. So if you like The Hunger Games, you'll probably like The Long Walk, even though it's like more brutal in much different ways. It's about a bunch of kids who just have to keep walking down this street, and the last person standing, or the last person walking basically, is the winner. And if anybody stops, they get killed. Like, it's so stressful, but it's a very interesting book. And third starting point, The Girl Who Loved Tom Gordon was really good. I read that recently, and it's another one that's like, it is supernatural and has some kind of weird elements, but it's also just like a survival story about a 9-year-old girl stuck in the woods. So those are good points to start, I think, if I had to recommend three off the top of my head.
Have you read Carrie?
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Oh, okay. Because I bought that one because obviously it's its first book, but I... haven't read it, obviously.
Yeah, that was the first book of his I read, actually. I was like, I'll start at the beginning. Also, I was a teen girl when I read it, so it kind of made sense thematically because it's about a teen girl. But I just didn't like it. I think I want to reread it now, though, because now I know his style better. So it could have just been that I was like not into his style back when I was 15. But yeah, not my favorite Stephen, unfortunately.
Not the king for really.
Not this time.
Well, the book that I picked for Batool is Macbeth. Oh, man. It's perfect. Have either of you read Macbeth?
Yeah, I read it in school.
Okay, sick. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I read it first for school, too. I think that's where everyone starts with Shakespeare. But I love this play so much. It is one of my... It is my favorite Shakespeare, but it's one of my favorite stories. It is so spooky. And, like, I was reading the synopsis on the back, and it says, a story of war, witchcraft, and bloodshed. And I'm like, that's what Batool needs. So
what more can you ask for?
This book starts with... some witches telling Macbeth, who is a warrior in Scotland, telling him that he is going to, basically, they give him a couple of, like, premonitions, but they say, you are going to become the ruler of Scotland. And he goes back, and this is, like, the worst description version of this ever, but he goes back to his tent, and he tells Lady Macbeth, he says, hey, wife, I was just told by some witches that I'm actually gonna become the ruler of Scotland. And she's like, oh my god, we have to make it happen by any means necessary. And so they kind of use the premonition as an excuse to go on a murderous rampage, and everything goes to absolute hell. But it's so exciting. It's really interesting and fascinating. If you haven't read any Shakespeare, I think it's a good place to start because it has a lot of fun plot. Like, the story actually keeps moving along. And it's got some good plot twists also. But yeah, if you don't feel like reading it, you could watch a film version of it. But yeah, I just really recommend this. And I realized recently, I had, for the first time ever, gotten to talk about Jane Austen on the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
This is my first time getting to talk about Shakespeare on the podcast, because I do really love my man Shakespeare, and I think that a lot of people are scared to read Shakespeare, but I don't think you should be. You're probably, like... You probably won't understand everything that you read when you read Shakespeare, but that's not the point. It's very similar to poetry in that way, where you're sort of like, yeah... I'll get what I get, and the rest will kind of fall into place. It'll be fine. Yeah. But it is. It's like reading poetry. It's beautiful. So many of the lines are just so good and powerful. Also, Macbeth is, a pretty short play. It's not like freaking King Lear or something where you keep reading it and you're like, just end. This one's like exciting and pithy. So I really, really recommend Macbeth. It is so much fun. And yeah, Lady Macbeth is one of the most interesting characters I've ever read. So you'll have a lot of fun reading about her. The sun has just blinded me. Oh my god, I like can't see anything. I forgot what I was saying. Something about Lady Macbeth and being blinded by the sun. It's super good. Super recommend it. And now that I've opened these gates, I can talk about Shakespeare more in the podcast. Of course. I know everyone is dying to hear.
Top 10 Shakespeare plays, next episode.
Let's go. Well, everyone, that brings us to the end of our episode. Katrina, thank you so much for being on the podcast. We've loved having you.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I love what you guys are doing, and it was such
thanks,
an honor
man.
To join you today.
Well, you all need to go and check out Katrina. She is Little Book Owl. Basically everywhere, or type in Little Book Owl and Katrina will come up. We hope that you've enjoyed this episode. We're off now to record our Patreon bonus mini podcast where I ask usually Raylene, but in this case Raylene and Katrina, a skill testing question. And I'm kidding, it's not skill testing, it's just a stupid book question, and we see what happens. So thank you so much to everyone for listening, and we will talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.